The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." Then he laid hands on her, and immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger, lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame. And the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you,
Please be seated. I don't know how strictly you all keep Sabbath. If it's a practice that is part of your world, if how you hold it, if you have maybe some Jewish background that you follow in some of those ways, or if you simply take a day where you rest. The Crane family takes Saturdays, and we have a lazy breakfast, and we kind of do what we feel throughout the day. And if there's something that feels like work, we avoid doing it as much as we can. and we do a fairly good job of that. When we lived in Montreal, we were close to the area where many people in the Hasidic Jewish community live, so the very Orthodox Jews. And I think there's some Polish tradition, so they would be walking around with these huge fur hats. It was incredible. And I didn't know all the traditions, but certain times of the year, they'd be carrying almost like palm fronds, these long standards, and they were on their way to synagogue. And they'd walk there, and it was, you know, you could tell just by looking at them that this was a very serious activity for them. And I would have loved to get a window into what the rest of that world was like for them. They're quite distinctive in the community. And that's maybe my best window into the world that Jesus was living in, that on Friday day there'd be preparations. Friday evening, there'd be a meal together, and maybe you probably know more about this. I think there are prayers for the mother to say and for the father to say. There's a rehearsing of the promises of God and the reason we take Sabbath, and the rest of the day is spent, you know, on the Saturday, you go to synagogue, and there's teaching, and it becomes the center of your week. That this is your religious focus, your social focus, and your practice of this day of rest that comes about. And you could see how there would be all kind of regulations and structures that are filled out around that. In anything that we begin to hold and keep as a tradition, there are structures and shapes around that. You probably have things in your week that have become very structured and focused around that. And so this particular Saturday, this Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. It was his turn to come and preach, and reading from the scroll and reflecting on it. And I imagine that would be a very normal thing that he had grown up seeing others do, and then when it came his time to do that teaching. I imagine this to be a very structured part of what they encountered on that day. And it was also maybe very structured and normal for this lady, who everybody knew in the community, to come. You know, she was probably the lady who came in late, and she's walking with her cane, and she's, you know, bent over, and maybe she sits always up at the front, and so everyone knows that she will come in, and we'll all see her come and walk right up to the front, and this happens every Saturday. Maybe her name was Judith, you know, and we all know Judith, and what she was about. She was lovely, but, you know, here she comes. Now is the time for Judith to enter. And it took her a long time to get to synagogue, and here she is plodding her way up to the front. Maybe it was even part of her practice to come forward and ask for a prayer of healing. Maybe that was her weekly practice, that she would come forward. You know, the way sometimes you see in more Catholic congregations, people come forward, ask for a blessing, holy water, and then she would go find her seat. What is extraordinary is that Jesus, in the midst of all these normal things, calls to her and says, "Judith, come here." And I'm struck by that a bit, that he makes her come to him. If she was so bent over and so difficult, he's making a show of this. He's making a point of what is going on here. And so he calls her to him, and he says, be freed from your ailment, lays a hand on her, and after 18 years, Judith stands up straight and finds this new place in the community and walks with strength to her seat. More than that, she begins praising God. She's been waiting for all these years, and every time coming to pray, and this is the first time where there has been an answer and a word given. I can only imagine what that was for her, to be so transformed in this kind of a moment. And in a certain way, all hell breaks loose at that moment. You know, we can deal with normal stuff. We know what to do when everything is going as it should do. But when someone is healed, or someone is released, or someone is brought into a new way of being, that shakes us up more than anything else. And the leader of the synagogue, who was probably charged, you know, his father before him, his grandfather before him, to be the one to kind of keep order and keep structure, he saw this as an affront to the structure of his synagogue and what was going on. And so he keeps calling out, saying, you know, this is work. If you're going to come for healing, come, we have healing services on Wednesday. Come to the healing service on Wednesday. This isn't the time for this. We're to do no work. And berating Jesus for this healing work that he did. You know, you're supposed to be teaching. You're not supposed to be laying a hand on anything on this day. And of course, Jesus' response embodies God's mercy and embodies God's tenderness. And he says, "You all go back to your barn after you are at synagogue, and you know your donkey is thirsty, and you loose your donkey from the manger of feed and walk it over for water, and you free that donkey. Why should this daughter of Abraham," that's a strong word, "this daughter of Abraham," the daughter of the one who received the promises of God, the daughter of the one who is God's own, "why should she not also be freed on this day?" And they get it. It says that all his opponents are put to shame, whatever that looked like. I imagine you could hear a pin drop in the community when those words were spoken, and they all come face to face with God's mercy and God's approach. We know this would have changed life for Judith, as we've called her. We know this would have changed life for everyone who was observing this and a witness to it. For Jesus, in a way, I think he was just doing what was normal for him. As the one who we have come to look to as the embodiment of God's love and God's care for us. For him, it was only the right thing, only the appropriate thing, that this woman be freed on the Sabbath. He seems to be a witness to us of the way that God truly is. And I think he was letting it be a bit of a show, making a bit of a point. Maybe the way we could do the service backward and, you know, I could be in ripped off jeans and, you know, to say how we dress, how we do this doesn't matter. The center of it is God is here and God is active and God is calling us deeply to God's self. Almost that kind of thing. And so Jesus is making a show of this to draw us who are hearing this 2,000 years later and to draw those in that synagogue on that day to a deeper understanding of who God is. And so we hear the word that God is not among us today at that time. God is not among us to bring us more rules and more law and more regulations. God is not there, is not here to keep us in our normal way and let everything go smoothly. But God is there to be alive, to bring us into fullness of life and release us into freedom. We should be wary, and the church has many sins in its history of not holding to that vision that God brings to us. Some of you have grown up in churches where the rules were stronger than the grace. We have in our history of the church times where we have put so much focus on the rules of what it means to be a Christian, a faithful person, where we've codified that to such an extent that it seems that we have squashed the Spirit of God at work. It's not saying that we move into a kind of spiritual anarchy. That's not where this is going. But it is saying that we are not serving a set of rules and a set of regulations. We are serving a living and wild God who comes in the midst of our life and releases us into something that is scary and frightening, but real and true, as this lady found out in the synagogue. And so it cues us to be on the lookout for how God is at work. Yes, God is at work in the mundane and the regular, calling us to observe Sabbath and take times of rest. God is with us in the simple acts of preparing for worship, like this Sunday, the altar has been prepared, there is bread made, there are other preparations that have been presented. We all have done our preparation to come to this worship service, and God is in all of that. And yet there may be a moment where God's voice speaks in the tiniest of ways, in the ways that upset us, in gentle and hilarious ways, and surprise us and renew us. And we're to grab onto those and say, here is the wildness of God. Here is the love of God at work, drawing me into a new way, into a new perspective. And to hear first that God is tender and merciful and loves us deeply. I'm enjoying watching the kids in front here because they're kind of doing a bit of that in shaking us up. And we all do that for one another in the way that we shake one another up and say something that is generous and kind, and it shocks us into a new way of being. Or inviting one another into laughter and joy. Our hope for the pub night, which is coming up on the 21st, is that it will be a moment of joy. Our hope for coffee after the service, that it will be a moment of joy that will shock us into the wildness and presence of God. The programs that will start in the fall, that they wouldn't just be doing the same old thing, but moments where we can meet God and be present to what is coming. So a call for us to observe the tenderness of God and the love of God as it comes, as it shocks us and upsets us, heals us, and frees us. Amen.